AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
All righty, Dr. Dean's joining us right now. Good morning, sir. The man dressed in green. There's a statement behind that, or just that's what your wife set out for you?
No, my wife doesn't do it. I do it myself. No.
Okay, well, you did a great job this morning.
Thank you. There's not a statement.
All right, no message behind.
Hadn't thought about that. You messed with my head a little bit there, Carl.
Sorry about that. Dr. Dean joins us, of course, every Monday about this time, 8:15, to talk about great tips for pet owners to make sure our little charges remain happy and healthy under our care. So, Dr. Dean, what did you want to talk about this morning?
Well, if you'll remember, last week we talked about anemia,
mm-hmm.
and I promised you that I would talk about a specific type of anemia this week.
Okay, right.
So we're going to. So hang on, it's a little bit complicated.
All righty, we'll try to keep you out of the thickets here.
Yeah, well, need to keep everybody else out of the thickets. I'm used to being in the thicket. I'm worried about those that are listening.
All righty.
So what I want to talk about is hemolytic anemia. So, Carl, you're the word origin guy. Hemolysis.
What is it? The word?
Hemolysis. H-E-M-O-L-Y-S-I-S. Can you do word origin?
Hemo relates to blood.
Blood. That's right.
Okay. Alysis.
Start with the L.
Lysis.
L-Y-S-I-S.
Okay, that means...
Study of.
What?
Is it study of?
No, that's ology.
Oh, okay. Dang it.
Lysis means death.
Oh, wow.
So it's red blood cell death.
Okay, all right.
Which, you know, we talked about last week, red blood cell death is normal because when the body finishes using a red blood cell to obtain oxygen,
mm-hmm.
it has to get rid of them.
Right.
Hemoglobin's what carries oxygen, and leftover hemoglobin is gotten rid of through the liver is bilirubin, and that's where icterus comes from, that yellow color, if mm-hmm. you've got too much bilirubin.
And sometimes newborn babies will have that.
Sometimes
too.
They will. Mm-hmm. But the main causes of icterus, or as people like to refer to it, jaundice, is liver disease, because you're not getting rid of the bilirubin, a bile duct obstruction, which means that the bilirubin is in the gallbladder, but it's not getting in the intestine because the bile duct's obstructed.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jerry Clower said one time, y'all know who Jerry?
Oh,
you know
sure.
who Jerry
we
Clower
all know
is.
Jerry.
Yeah. yeah.
He said, talking about this lady that had so much eye shade on that she looked so green, he thought her gallbladder done busted. So anytime I think about bile duct structure, I remember what Jerry Clower said. Or the third possibility is that there's more bilirubin than the body can handle for some reason, and that's where this problem comes in, because that's from hemolysis.
That just sounds like a good sandwich to me. Bilirubin.
Bilirubin.
Get one of them bilirubin sandwiches, man.
Now, I like Reuben. I just hadn't had bilirubin. But if I get a bilirubin, I'll give you a report.
There you go.
At least your opinion won't be jaundiced then.
Hopefully not. So hemolysis is a normal process to some degree, meaning that when the red blood cells are used, they're destroyed and they go in the bilirubin. But normal red blood cells that are supposed to be in the body to move oxygen from one place to another.
Their regular job.
That's their job.
Yeah.
So they should not be being destroyed until they complete that job, which is to transport oxygen. So the problem that we're talking about here, which is called immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, means that the body is destroying red blood cells when it shouldn't be doing that.
Okay.
So this is an immune-mediated disease. Mm-hmm. It means something has gone haywire in the body's immune system, such that it's like there's a signal that's going on telling the body to destroy red blood cells, which is a completely abnormal thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be destroying red blood cells. They should be utilized, and after they're utilized, then what's left will be taken care of.
So as a result of this, they're not getting enough oxygen to the individual, right?
It could be. The direct result is they become anemic because they don't have enough red blood cells because the body's destroying them. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, if you don't have enough red blood cells, you're not going to get enough oxygen.
Right.
But the symptoms are not really so much of hypoxia, meaning decreased oxygen, as they are of what you see because you don't have the cells there, which means they're going to be anemic because the body doesn't have enough red blood cells because mm-hmm. they've been destroyed.
Right.
They often will be icteric or jaundiced because there is more bilirubin available and circulating in the tissue than the liver can get rid of. It just can't handle it all.
That wasn't being carried away by those missing blood cells?
Well, remember how that works. The normal body takes bilirubin from red blood cells that have already done their job and they're used up and gets rid of it.
Right.
If you've all of a sudden got a lot more destroyed red blood cells and an increased amount of bilirubin than the liver can handle, then it can only process it so fast, so that's why they get icterate.
Got it.
In other words, these patients that we see, which are usually dogs, cats can get hemolytic anemia, but it's much more common in dogs, actually are lethargic and anemic and icteric. Those are the things we usually see.
And icteric is jaundice.
It's jaundice. Yeah. Means that their mucous membranes are yellow. It depends on how high the bilirubin level is. Sometimes they can look almost orange like a pumpkin if there's enough of it there. It can be difficult to see in the gums, but they're anemic, so they're pale, so it's pretty easy to tell. The other place you can see it is in the sclera, and the sclera is the white portion of the eye. As Andrew Jackson said, the whites of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That area is normally white, and if it's yellow, that's a good place to see icterus.
Okay.
Not that you're going to necessarily be looking at your dog to see if it's icteric all the time. However,
if you see that.
If you see it, it's abnormal.
Yeah.
Or if your dog is lethargic and feeling bad, there's really nothing to indicate to a pet owner that they've got a dog that's going to get hemolytic anemia. It just happens. Just all of a sudden, the dog feels bad. They're lethargic. They don't know they're anemic. They usually don't know they're icteric because they don't look and they don't know what to look at for anyway. And then when they come in and we do an exam and realize that we've got an anemic icteric dog and we start doing blood tests on them, find out that they're anemic and that this likely is the problem. It's just like a shot out of the dark because most people have never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have no idea that it could occur, have no idea that it's going to occur to their dog, and have no idea why. And while we're on that subject, we can give clients an idea of the things that can cause it, but usually in an individual pet, we can't tell them why it happened most of the time. Now, it can happen because of events that will affect the immune system, such as vaccination, although I don't know that I've seen a case that I could associate with a vaccination, but in those dogs that get it that are really, really sick, excuse me, if they live, frequently we will not vaccinate them again or do so sparingly because you don't want to set the immune system off.
Ever again or just during a short period of time after?
It depends.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes ever again. That's a complicated issue, as you can imagine. It can happen secondary to cancer, which would make sense because that's going to make the immune system be haywire.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that a time or two, but most of the cases actually we have to classify in the unknown cause category because we just don't know what set them off and what caused it. So think about what's happening here. The body, which is producing red blood cells in the bone marrow, and the red blood cells are kind of filtered out and phagocytized in the spleen, the whole thing's gone haywire, and now for some reason it's starting to damage some of those red blood cells that are supposed to be circulating and carrying oxygen, and instead of them fulfilling that requirement as they mature, they die before they get to the mature phase where they can do that, and the spleen is overwhelmed. Many of these dogs have a really large spleen because the spleen's trying to handle all this, and it's more than normal. And then secondarily, they become icteric because you got all the bilirubin. And now you're sitting here with a dog that's destroying its own red blood cells, and you're trying to figure out where to go with it. The mortality rate for dogs with hemolytic anemia is really pretty high. Not to say that some of them can't do well. Depends on how you define well. Long-term viability is there for a lot of them, but they have to be really aggressively treated, meaning you have to give them medication to suppress the body's immune system to make it stop destroying red blood cells, which usually means really high dose of corticosteroids. Which at high doses, prednisone, dexamethasone, those are immunosuppressive drugs.
Okay.
And maybe other immunosuppressive drugs. Some dogs have to have blood transfusions because of how anemic they are. The problem with blood transfusion, even though it's life-saving, is that placing more blood in the body feeds the fire that's already going on of the body destroying red blood cells. And the body's sitting there thinking, oh, boy, here's a whole bunch more red blood cells. So it ramps it up more and they destroy more. sometimes.
Okay.
So this is a very, very difficult road to walk.
Yeah, it sounds like it has a lot of different directions that it could go.
Yeah, and the main one in that regard, Carl, is that you don't know which one of these patients is going to be the one of the ones that if you stick with it and work on them and keep going, you'll gradually be able to get the body toned down and them live either on a low dose of prednisone or in some cases you can even wean them off, but that doesn't always happen. Or which ones of these that you see are going to be cases where they just completely continue to tank no matter how you treat them and they either die or you euthanize them, because we got both ends of the spectrum on that.
Yeah.
And you can't predict it when you first start working with them.
A lot of things to talk about on this. We're up against the clock right now. Do you want to continue this next week?
I don't know that we really need to continue.
How often does it occur?
It's not rare.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to say it's real common, but we see cases occasionally, probably not frequent, but occasionally, and it's common enough that it's on our radar because we know how big a deal it is and how difficult they are to treat. The thing with the clients, the people that are listening, is they're not going to identify this.
Right.
We have to diagnose it. All they're going to see is a dog that's suddenly lethargic and not feeling good and weak. But there are a lot of things that do that, you know.
For an annual physical, okay, do you usually do some sort of checking to check on this?
Well, if the owner wants to do regular blood work, we do. But now the thing about that is dogs that get hemolytic anemia get sick all of a sudden.
Okay. Wow.
And annual blood work can be normal, and then 3 months from now they get this disease. You're not going to know it until you do their CBC.
Wow. Very complex indeed. That's why we have Dr. Dean Baird here to help take us through the thickets here. Mountain Empire Animal Hospital sponsors this portion of the program. They're open 6 days a week. Dr. Dean, how do folks get in touch?
By phone, if they choose, 282-3771.
Very good. We'll talk to you next week.